Matthew chapter 9. I want to show you a word in the text. It's only used five times in the New Testament. It's the Greek word tharseo. I want to show you this word five times, and then I want to take you on a little trip this morning. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to run through the Gospels and look at this word five times, and actually in the book of Acts once. Matthew chapter 9, let's look at verse 2. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. Then behold, they brought to him, speaking of Christ, a paralytic lying on the bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Be of good cheer. And that's the Greek word, the word we translate into cheer there. Be of good cheer. And that word's kind of not the best word, I don't think, to use there because of the way we use it in our language. When we tell someone to cheer up, we're wanting them to get happy. And we're wanting them to have a smile on their face or whatever. That's not what's being said here. This Greek word, tharseo, it's a divine impartation that's taken place. And it's somebody who is receiving courage. There's being a deposit made when Jesus used this word. So he's actually, when these people are in front of him and he starts speaking and he uses this word tharseo, he's imparting something into their life. It's courage. He's imparting courage and strength. This impartation is going into their life. Let's look at chapter 14, verse 27, the same gospel. Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. Let me back up on this. Let's look at verse 23. It says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening had came, he was alone." Speaking of Jesus, he was alone there. "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, for the wind was contrary. Now on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea." So they were in a storm, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer," or "Be of good tharseo. It is I. Do not be afraid." Now notice what's going to happen next. In just a moment, we're going to read about Peter moving out. Peter was able to move out because this divine impartation had been given to him. But let me say something to you. Not everybody receives it. It's there to receive, but not everybody receives it. Jesus told one crowd, he said, "Take heed how you hear." Some people are dull of hearing. And it's amazing, isn't it, how some people can come to God with great expectation and receive tharseo or whatever, and others can be in the same situation at the same moment and miss it because they're not ready to hear. People are not ready to hear. I'm sure a school teacher can tell you that constantly, how they deal with that. Kids who are ready to hear and some who are not. And Jesus speaks this word of impartation. Now, he's not just putting words on them. That's what I'm trying to convey to you. There's a divine impartation being offered here. But we can refuse impartations. We can refuse them. We can refuse the gift that God is offering us at that moment. People refuse salvation. They may fall under conviction there. But even as Christians, we can refuse what God's offering us. We've come this far. We don't want to go any further. And so Peter takes it in, and he receives it, and he says, he answered, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, where did that come from? Where'd that idea come from? I mean, this is the first time we ever hear about anybody walking on the water. But what had happened, Peter hung on the words of Jesus. How do we know that? Because Jesus would say, one time he had the crowd with him, and he said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Most of them left. In fact, the multitude walked away. And what's interesting about that, Jesus didn't say, hey, wait a minute, now let me tell you what I'm talking about. He didn't do any of that. He didn't say, hey, please stay. He just let them go. But he then turns to the ones that are left, and he says, are you going to leave too? As if to open the door for them. And Peter says, where will we go? You have the words of life. I would that a Christian, the Christians, would value the Word of God and make it the preeminent thing in your home, in your life, everywhere. All of us should value the Word of God like we preached about last Sunday. And so Peter, he hangs on. So he, even though this is the first time they've ever seen anybody walking on the water, Moses and them didn't walk on the water. The water was parted for them. Here comes one walking on the water. Pretty amazing. Pretty powerful. Full of power and glory. But then Peter says, hey, if that's you, tell me to come out there with you. And so he received that impartation. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So he's making progress, right? He's walking out. He received that impartation, and then he's walking out. Now, let me tell you what, the devil is more interested in stealing from you than your car or your house or your money. He's more interested in stealing from you the words and the things Christ gives to you. That's what he's after. He's more interested in trying to pull us away from our faith. That's what he's more interested in. And so we get a word from God, and we're called to walk those out, right? We use this word a lot around here. It's called pisteo, and that's the verb form for the word in the New Testament that undergirds all believing and all faith, all right? This word, and verbs do what? They show action. So if you have genuine faith, you'll be active in it. Genuine faith is not some mental thought and you sitting on your seat of do nothing. True faith, all New Testament faith, it stems from this Greek word that's a verb, pisteo, believing and faith and all of that. In other words, if I have true faith, I'll act upon what God has said to me. And that's where the devil tries to come in, right? The Bible says he comes forth to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And the biggest thing I feel like he's doing with Christians many times is robbing them. God will give us a word, maybe out of the word, or maybe in your prayer time. You'll get a word from God, and the devil will come by and try to steal that. You'll get an impartation. And we talked about this last week, the difference between the logos, which is the word that's translated the word of God, and then rhema, which is the living Word of God. In other words, the difference between that is you reading the Bible as history, and it is a history book. It's a correct history book. It's full of truth. It has no, the truth in the Word of God. It's inerrant. But now we also get words from God that are for us for that moment, for that present time. So God can speak to us through His Word, through the Logos, and cause it to be revelated. That's what this word rhema means, a revelation for you and I. We get a revelated word, and now the battle starts. God speaks a word to us, and then we get a battle because the devil does not want us to step into that word. All right? If we step into the Word of God, if we step into the Word that He's not only given us in the Scripture, but sometimes personally given to us. Think about Moses. Here comes Moses out of Egypt. And he's been given the word, and everything, they're moving out of Egypt, they're on their way down. God says, I'm going to deliver you. And when he gets to the Red Sea, he's trapped. If you study the geography there, he's trapped. It's kind of like a triangular situation, the mountain, the sea, and here comes Pharaoh's army. He's trapped. Now, at that moment, I'll guarantee you he's being challenged to thinking, I wonder if I heard God right. Did he mean for us to go another way? Let me know what I'm talking about. Is there anybody in here human? You get a word from God, and here you step out, and you're moving in that. And when you step out, everything out there seems contrary to what God says. Now, who do you think's behind that? What do you think happened before they left Egypt, right? The magicians threw their rods down. They became serpents. All right, what's that? An attempt to deceive, and then Moses throws his rod down and devours all the serpents. God's in charge, but the devil wants us to think he's not, right? He wants us to get stepping out into what God has spoken to us, stepping into that word, and then all of a sudden, the devil brings up different circumstances that look contrary to what God. Now, he's a worthy opponent. And all of us are going to face that. So now Peter steps out on the water. He's walking on the water. He got that. Now let me show you what happened. He started looking at his circumstances, right? Then he begins to sink. Most of you know this story. He starts sinking because he's looking at his circumstances. What should he have kept his eyes on? The Word of God. He was looking at the Word of God. The Bible says Jesus and the Word are one and the same. And that's why I've told you many times, you can't lay hold of Jesus and deny parts of his word. They're one and the same. You can't have Jesus and say, but I don't believe what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1. You can't do that because the word and Jesus are one and the same. And so when he was looking at the water, he was looking at the word. Not only was he looking at the word, but the word had given him a word. He said, come on out. And as soon as he stepped out, and see what Jesus did when he gave him that word, he imparted tharseo into him. This word, there's a divine impartation of courage when that word is used. And so Jesus, when he spoke a word, and Jesus don't have to use that word to impart things. He can use any word he wants to. And so he speaks another word to him to come out, and he puts that courage in him. And then he says another word to come on out, and Peter does it. Kudos to Peter. Good for him. The rest of them still in the boat. They can make fun of him for sinking all day, but they never got out of the boat. I can just imagine them pulling him in the boat. Look at you all wet. But they wouldn't even get out. But notice what the devil does. This is a great lesson for us. We get some confirmation from God. We get an impartation of courage and pisteo, faith. We get that dropped into us by the Holy Spirit, and we step. And when we step, the devil gets nervous. You know what he gets nervous about? He don't get nervous because somebody's talented. He don't get nervous because somebody can sing well, or somebody can preach well, or somebody can teach well. You know what he gets nervous about? He gets a church because it's got a building and it does some work in Haiti or whatever. You know what the devil gets nervous about? He gets nervous about those people who say, okay, I heard your word, God, and I'm going to step out into it. That's what makes him nervous. And so when that happens, he knows that his work gets defeated when we act on God's word. Now, I've told you this many times, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I really don't care if I do. God don't need your ideas. Do you think that God needs Matthew Robbins' ideas? Do you think I've come up with something that the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit are looking at each other thinking, why didn't we think of that? How did Robbins think of that and we not get to that? That's not who God. God's all-knowing. What God really wants from us is to take Him at His word and step into that and live it and walk it out. That's when the enemy is defeated. Can somebody give the Lord praise? So, Peter, what happened to him? He got the word. He got two words, actually, didn't he? He got the tharseo. Jesus said, be of good tharseo, be of good cheer, it is I. And then Peter, wanting confirmation, said, hey, if that's you, tell me to come on out. He did. He went. But here, Peter represents a lot of us. He got confirmation twice. But what did he do? Did anything change? Nothing changed. The storm was still going on. Jesus was still standing on the water. What changed? What changed was where Peter was looking. That's what changed. Nothing else changed. Jesus didn't say, hold on a minute, Peter. I'm going to stop this storm, then you can come on out. Or he didn't say, hold on a minute, Peter. Let me get to the shore, and you meet me at the shore, and we'll walk together over there. He didn't do any of that. One time when I was when our daughter was maybe 2 years old, she had this fear of dogs. Didn't matter if they were a nice dog or a bad dog. And so we were standing out in the front yard one time, and here come a dog from the neighbors. It wasn't a mean dog, but it was a pretty good sized dog. She saw that dog and made a beeline for me. And when she did, she jumped as high as she could jump, about this high, I guess. And I called her and swooped her up into my arms, and the dog come running, slid right at my feet, jumped up and started pawing. But she went from crying and being afraid to smiling and laughing. what had changed. The only thing that changed is she got in her daddy's arms. Everything else was the same. Let me say a word to you. Sometimes we face circumstances that don't change quick enough for us. And we get frustrated, discouraged, and even fearful. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says He walks through with us in the fire, in the flood. He's with us every step of the way. So we don't have to be afraid. Our circumstances may come and go. But the fact that we're in the arms of Jesus, that's what makes a difference. Peter done that. Now, that's what happens. That can happen to you and I. We step out. We got the words from God. We get the impartation. We step into it. And guess who shows up? The devil. He don't want us walking out God's word. He don't want us to be faithful. He doesn't want His kingdom to come down. Let's look at Mark chapter 6. Same Greek. This is only five times. You can jot this down. The only five times the word tharseo is used. In Mark chapter 6, verse 50, he talks about it again. And this is the same story we just read. He says, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost in verse 49, for they all saw him and were troubled, but immediately he talked with them and said, be of good tharseo, in verse 50 of Mark chapter 6, it is I, do not be afraid. And then we get to a different part of the story. He says, when he went into the boat, the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed. But Peter stepped out while the winds were still going. Let's go to John chapter 16. Let me show you another one. This is the fourth time this Greek word's used in John chapter 16, verse 33. Now, I'm taking you somewhere, so buckle your seatbelts. Listen to what he says. Let me back up to verse 31. They ask him a question. Let me back up to verse 29, actually. His disciples said to him, in John 16 and 29, his disciples said to him, see now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you not now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and has now come, that you will be scattered, each one to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace, or shalom. In the world you will have tribulation. Bump your neighbor and say, you're going to have trouble. Go ahead and tell them, man. They're going to be trouble. You know what the psalmist said? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him out of them all. If you've been a Christian for a number of years and never been persecuted, are you sitting at home all the time? The Bible says those that are godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to find it. If you're a true believer, you're going to have some trouble. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him out of them all. Somebody ought to give God praise for that. Amen. Look what he says. He says, you're going to have my peace in the world. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good what? Tharseo. I have overcome the world. So he's another impartation. He's giving them impartation. Let me say something. If you don't spend time in the Word and in prayer, you're not going to get those impartations. Jesus will meet you in His Word and in prayer and give you impartations. Let's go to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. And let's look at this final place this word's used in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 23, verse 11. 23, verse 11. Now, they're having trouble. Paul is. And verse 9, let me back up to verse 9. It says, then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes and the Pharisees party arose and protested, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. Now, when these things arose, a great dissension, and commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled into pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring them into the barracks. Bring him into the barracks. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. So they were trying to kill Paul, and Paul, the Lord gave him a sense of tharseo, an impartation. Some of you heard me tell this story, but a friend of mine who built many churches in Romania was behind the Iron Curtain many times smuggling Bibles in. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. He's old, actually, when he was doing all that. He went to Israel probably 180 times. He was a very well-known in that region of the world. And they would smuggle Bibles in on trains. That's how long he'd been doing it, in trains and all that kind of stuff, trying to get them in everywhere. But this particular time, he was on a flight from America over to Romania, and the plane started having trouble. He said, you can figure how many times he'd flown across the pond, probably over 1,000 of going mission work, and almost 200 times just to Israel alone. And so he said the plane was really, really having a hard time, and he said it was so hard of a time. The first time he'd ever seen the stewardess were really afraid. He could tell everybody was afraid on the plane. He said people were pulling out stuff from everywhere. People were pulling out all kinds of religious artifacts, praying, and he said there were different kinds of religions. And he said that the Lord gave me tharseo. He enabled me to stay calm during the whole situation over the ocean. He said, because I had received a word before I left house of somebody God was going to hook me up with when I got there. And he said, I held on to that word. And he said, because he held on to that word in this troubled plane and storm, he said, people started taking notice. Why aren't you praying? Why aren't you? And they were all discouraged. He said, because of that, he was able to lead a stewardess and two other people to Christ because he remained calm. And guess what? The plane landed fine. See, if you get a word from God, you'll have opportunities to back away from it. The devil will see to it that you get opportunities to shy away and say, well, here's the first thing, right? Maybe I didn't hear God right. Anybody ever heard the devil say that to you? Yes. Maybe I was mistaken. All those kind of things, when God drops something in, deposits something in us, the devil's coming to steal that. What do you think Moses thought? He had those same thoughts. Here comes Pharaoh's army. They're trapped. But he didn't yield to that, did he? He kept waiting on the Lord, and he spoke to the children of Israel and said, stand still and see. He used the word that we translate Jesus. He said, stand still and see the Yeshua, or the salvation of the Lord. He was living by faith. Put his rod out over the ocean. You know the rest of the story. But everybody was frustrated at him then and then later even, because he was standing on God's word, and many of the people were trying to live by what they saw. They said, we would to God we'd have died into Egypt, right? Remember all those things they were complaining about, because they weren't focused on the word of God. They were focused on the desert or the sea. And that's what we've got to receive this morning. We shouldn't be focused on everything going on in the world. We've got to focus on him. The world, do you know the world is on a one-way collision course with judgment? This world's not going to last. It's not going to last. And so we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. His plan is fail-proof. It's fail-proof if we keep our eyes. His plan's fail-proof whether we follow through or not. But if we follow through and keep our eyes focused on him, it also is fail-proof for us. Now let me take you a couple of places. I want to show you something here before I run you over there, though. Nobody back there. I don't want to knock them out here. So, and if you've heard nothing else this morning, I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say. There is an omnipresence of God and a manifested presence of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, half the church is afraid of that one. Because when God manifests himself, things come to light. Good and bad. And the reason they come to light is because God is a healer, a forgiver, good stuff, right? A deliverer. I probably spelled that one wrong, didn't I? God wants to manifest himself. He manifests himself in the Old Testament. He manifests himself all through the New Testament. He wants to manifest himself in our lives. Now, God is everywhere all the time. That's his omnipresence. Nothing escapes God. But many times, God desires to manifest himself. Let's go to John 14. Let me show you something here. Look at John 14. Let's look at verse 21. John 14. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Manifest myself. The word manifest is emphanizo. It's the word we translate manifest. It means to make known, to appear, show up clearly. No mistaking. God wants to manifest himself in the church. He wants to manifest himself in your home. He wants to manifest himself in your personal life. And the Holy Spirit is here, the one to do that. Manifestation is a frightful time. Read the scriptures and watch when God manifests himself. The Bible many times says men fell as dead men. All kinds of things happen because of the holy presence of God that we got just a little glimpse of last Sunday. He touched us with it just a little bit last Sunday of his holiness. God wants to manifest himself. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. But he also asks us to worship him in spirit and truth. Think about that for a minute. Think about how many Christians went to church today and just went through the motions. Think about that. Think about how many of them sung the same three lines they've always sung with no variation at all. If the Holy Spirit showed up and tried to get them to linger a little while, they had no clue of it. But that can happen to any of us. Think about the time that the Holy Spirit visited your home and you were too busy to respond to that. The Holy Spirit wanting to manifest himself in our lives, the work of God. Now, God's omnipresence, but God don't want us to be satisfied with that. He's looking over all the sinners today. You know, God's got his eye right here on this building, and he's got his eye over there at Cattleman's. He's got his eye up there at the Holiday Inn. He's got his eye over there at Walmart. He sees it all. But you know what he's looking for? He's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth and be open to him revealing himself. That's another word that was used in this Greek word, revealing himself. He wants to reveal himself clearly. Now you think about that. God's offering himself. Look what he says here in John. He says, he who has my commandments keeps them, is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Look at the question. Judas, not Iscariot, but the other one, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Make our home with him. Now, do you love him? Now, I've been in the ministry for 30 years, and I've watched the transition. I'm going to say something here, and I hope it's not offensive to anybody, but it's true. I hope it's not true with you, but it's true. I have watched people fall in love, even in the church, with something in front of God. And I'm getting ready to say a hard one. And many times, it's their children. They love their own children more than they love God. And we forget, I love my children, but I didn't die for them, and they didn't die for me. I love Jesus more than I love my children. And do you know I'm a better father because I love Jesus more than them? There's some psychology that works in people thinking if we love some individual more than anything else, we're helping them. No, you're not. If you're loving them more than you're loving God, I don't care if it's your wife, your children, your aunt, your uncle, your mother, your father, I don't care. He said, you can't love anybody more than me and be my disciple. But we have an America world filled with that now. They love their jobs. They love their highs. They love their stuff. They love other people more than they love God. And we know that Johnny's going to be the next Peyton Manning. That's why we never come to church on Sunday. We know he's going to be the next Pete Rose, so we can't come to church on Sunday. And you watch people. They love things. Sometimes, and I hate to even say this, but sometimes it's even an animal that they put in front of everything and everybody and even God. That's the kind of culture we've come to. So if we're going to love Jesus, he said, you're going to have to love him. If you love me and love by my Father will manifest. And he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. There's nothing greater that will happen in your life or my life than God to manifest himself to us. Those are the greatest moments in our lives. I'm going to take you, before I close, let me take you to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I want to show you something here. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let me show you how this plays out. 1 Samuel chapter 3, watch what happens. Verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. I think it's true again today. There was no widespread revelation. That's Ramah. And it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. And he went to lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. He's a little young boy. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Now, before I make this statement, let me throw this out there first. Anything you and I have lacked as parents or in any position we may hold, whatever we miss, the Bible says God will restore everything the cankerworm's eaten. Sometimes we don't do exactly what we're supposed to do. We get too busy, we get caught up. But why in the world would we train our children to hear every voice but God's? Did you spend any time, are you spending time training your children to hear the voice of God? And this is why that's so important. Because when they're passing around a left-handed cigarette, as we used to call them, marijuana, when they're passing around one of those, you won't be there. But the Holy Spirit will. To bring conviction and to draw them away from dangerous situations. It's so important to train your children. We train our children to hear every voice but that if we're not careful. Let's not do that. So he realized what's happening. And the Lord came, and Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. It shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered. Speak, for your servant hears. The Bible says the Lord came in that verse. He stood and He spoke. In the Old Testament, the Lord revealed Himself by fire and by a cloud. Do you know, I know this is mind-blowing, do you realize that God wants to hang out with you? I know it's mind-blowing. He wants to take time out of His universe to be with us. That's mind-boggling to me. And so He will come, He will stand, and He will speak. That won't never be the problem. The problem is, will we listen? That's the problem. And when you hear that word from God, whether you're reading one day, and this was the difference, last week we talked about the difference between Logos and Rhema, the written word and the revelator. When you read the Scripture and you think, oh man, that's for me, that's exactly what God's saying to me right now at this moment. Will you take that with pisteo and walk it out? Or will you let the devil steal it from you? We talked about the parable of the sower last Sunday, right? And what happens? The Bible says God plants the word, the sower plants the word, and immediately the devil comes to steal it. I tell you, the enemy, Satan, is not nearly as interested in stealing your house as he is stealing the words of God that come into your life. That's what he wants to steal. He wants to steal the tharseo that Jesus is trying to impart in our life. He wants to rob us of a word that God gave us. And the words over the years that I've had from God, sometimes they've been about my children or my situation. Sometimes when I've got a word from God, the next little while, the thing that I've been praying about looks totally opposite of what God said. That's how the enemy works. That's where the children of Israel were at. Hey, how is this going to work out, Mo? You done drug us out of Egypt, out here to die? We could have stayed down there. We were miserable. They forget about that. How miserable they were. How they had to make all that stuff without the proper ingredients and how they were being beaten and killed. They forget all of that. Because it's just that moment. We've got to be people that live beyond the moment and hang on to what God said, even though what's in front of us is totally opposite of what God said. That's the people God's looking for. The people that lay hold of His Word and refuse to let go of it. They are refused to be denied. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Those are not the best words to use there, but that word violent means somebody who refuses to be denied. What did Jacob say? When he was wrestling with God, he had a hold of the angel. He wrestled and he said, I'm not leaving. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. That's the kind of people God's called us to. And God did bless him. And what about the woman who came for a daughter? Jesus was walking through and he reached out and asked for help. And he said, it's not right to give meat to the dogs off the master's table. Now, how many Christians do you know would have said, I thought you was Jesus. I thought you come to help us. How many Christians do you know right this moment that they would have been offended and walked off when Jesus said, I'm not giving meat to the dogs? Not this woman. She refused to be denied. She said, yes, but the dogs eat from the crumbs that come off the table. And Jesus said, hold on. We're going to help this woman. She gets it. She has faith. But how many people do you know be offended? We know plenty of them. Let's don't act like we don't. Some of them are offended because of the church color of the walls. You think, you heard the story about the guy that were fussing about buying a chandelier, and he was totally against it. I don't want no chandelier out there. He said it cost too much and this, that, and the other. And finally, they said, well, we got the money. He said, we don't need to spend it on that. He said, we don't have anybody that could play one anyway. He didn't even know what it was. That's old. That's from one of my old preacher friends from way back. I remember. We're not getting no chandelier. Nobody knows how to play it. But we're like that if we're not careful. Would you have been that woman? Would you have said, I'm not giving up? listen, I'll eat the crumbs? Or would you have been the one who said, he ain't who he says he is. I thought he's supposed to help me. I'm telling you, a lot of people with that kind of attitude. And what you're going to get, you're going to get words from God offered to you. You're going to get them. Some of you probably got some this morning. I know how the Holy Spirit works. Holy Spirit, I may not even said it. Because sometimes people come and say, "Bro, when you said this," I'm like, I didn't say that. That's the Holy Spirit told you that. And you got a word. Now the devil, we don't let him in here, so he's not in here, but he'll be. He's standing out there on the sidewalk when you leave. And he's going to try to steal that from you. That's his greatest weapon. He don't want Dan's shirt or my shirt. What he wants is the words that God offers to Dan. He wants to steal them from him. And he'll be waiting. You know the parable of the sower. But you be like that woman and say, you know what? I want the crumbs. You be like Moses says, stand still and watch God show up. Let's stand our feet. We're going to have a baby dedication in just a moment, but I want everybody just to close your eyes for a moment because we don't want to miss this moment. If there's anybody here who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you're somebody here who's kind of drifted away, that's how Paul says it in the book of Hebrews, or maybe you're that person that you've got a word from God, but you've been struggling to hang on to it. The devil's trying to rob you from that. We just pray. I'm asking you to, if you have any need like that and you want to slip out of your seat and surrender your life to Jesus or do some business with the Lord, whatever that means to you, we want to give you this opportunity for a moment here while we worship. This altar's open. If you need healing in your body, your mind, your spirit will pray over you. Whatever your need is, will you come as we worship just for a moment here?